So this week, many thousands of people were placed under local restrictions by the Northern Ireland Executive. These restrictions apply mostly to meeting and gathering together in other people's homes. Did you ever think the day would come when it was illegal to actually bring somebody into your home? But that's where we are tonight. The numbers of people testing positive for COVID-19 have caused alarm and concern in government. And all the talk of a second wave of coronavirus, the fear of the spikes and the fear of the peaks of the virus, all led the government to taking the decision to restrict the freedom of thousands of people living within certain postcode areas. Now, the whole thinking behind these local restrictions is to stop the spread of the virus by restricting contact with others, particularly within household settings, which we are told is the biggest culprit for the rise in positive cases. And if you're not sure whether these restrictions apply to you or not, then I would advise you, you can go to the Northern Ireland Direct website and you can put in your postcode and you can check if you are in one of these restricted areas. Can I encourage you to do that? Because you might just find that you're in one of these restricted areas and you didn't actually know it, as we found out during this week. But that's another point. So the local restrictions, therefore, are they helps or are they hindrances? Will they improve the situation? Will they bring down the rise in positive cases of coronavirus? Well, I can't answer that question. Not yet, anyway. And even if I could, I personally wouldn't want to waste my time from this pulpit speaking about man's supposed ideas and man's supposed remedies as to how our nation, as to how our province can be restored. Because it will not be until our nation and our government returns back to the scriptures, and rather than this over-reliance on science and statistics and the thinking of man, it's not until our province returns back to God that we will see our land being blessed and being restored. And so tonight, I have no desire to bring any political message, because that wouldn't help anyway. But what I do want to do tonight is to direct you to the scriptures, and to direct you to another place where restrictions were imposed, and see if there they were a help or a hindrance. Where there were limitations placed upon the people. But the difference to where I want to direct your attention to tonight is, while the restrictions imposed locally here in our province across different postcode areas is all about saving lives, it's all about the physical. But these restrictions that we look at tonight, it's not simply about the physical, it's about the spiritual. Because in all that's going on, and you will have heard me say this in weeks gone by, and all that's going on tonight, we have lost fact. And we've lost the reality that we are more than physical. Tonight, you are more than just a physical being. You are a spiritual being because you have a soul tonight. The scripture tells us about the value of the soul. Far more important than the value of a life. You have a soul that will never die. A soul that will live on either in God's heaven or in God's hell when the body is decaying in the grave. And so the local restrictions that we want to look at tonight, not just about the physical, it's about the soul. Tonight we come to one of the great mountain scenes in Scripture. We come to Sinai. We come to a time just prior to the commandments being given in a formal manner to Moses, as they are in Exodus chapter 20. But in Exodus chapter 19, we have the events that were to lead up to the law being written on the tablets of stone. We have the events that were to lead up to Moses coming up the mountain to meet with God and to hear from God. But the part especially I want us to consider this evening are the words of verse 12. Because here are the restrictions that were put in place. The Lord said to the people, "Go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Don't go up, don't go near, and do not touch." The question I want, therefore, to ask tonight and seek to answer this evening by the help of the Scriptures, were these restrictions helpful or were they hindrances? First thing I want us to see tonight is the clarification. The clarification that is needed. Don't know about you, but at the minute, I don't know whether I can come or go, whether I can sit or stand, whether I can breathe or not. It's hard to know what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Well, tonight, when we come to Exodus chapter 19 and the giving of the law and these restrictions that were imposed upon the people just before the law was given, there is ample clarity in Scripture as to why these restrictions were put in place. And for us to understand that, then we have to understand what the law of God is all about. What is Exodus chapter 20? And we're not going to look at Exodus chapter 20. It contains the Ten Commandments, but what is that all about? Why were these restrictions put in place here? God's law tonight. God's law, which is incumbent still upon us this evening. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's not just a list of regulations. You see, to see the law as that is to miss the whole point. The law of God was given to reveal the standards that God requires, what a holy God requires of his people. The law is a revelation of the holiness and the purity and the brightness of the Lord. And what was going to happen at Sinai? And what did happen in Exodus chapter 20 was the writing down of that law on tablets of stone. But you see, when we come to Exodus chapter 20, this is not the first time that the law was written down. This is not something new in Exodus chapter 20 or 19. Because the law has been written on the heart of every man. From the beginning of time, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, "The work of the law written in their hearts." What was the purpose of it? It was to show to mankind our total inability to meet that law. The law was a mirror to show man that he is a sinner, that he had broken the law of God. Paul, again writing in Romans chapter 4, says that the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. How do I know I'm a sinner tonight? It's because of the law of God, it's because of the word of God. You go down that law. You go down those Ten Commandments. You cannot say, honestly, before God, you've kept it holy, entirely, completely, all of your life. And yet you break the law in just one little part, you've broken it in all parts. And what is the breaking of the law of God? It is sin. How do we know we are sinners tonight? It's because of the law of God. God has revealed to us his standard, the standard that he requires. We cannot meet that standard. We have fallen short of that standard, and because of that, we are sinners tonight. All are born into sin. What does the law do? It shows us tonight that we are set apart from God. That before a holy God, because of our sinful nature, we are apart from Him. But the law does more than that. And we'll continue on this theme in a moment. The law does not only show us that we are a sinner. The law also points us then to a Savior. Paul says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You see, that standard that God requires, we can't meet it, you can't meet it, I can't meet it, but there is one who through His death on the cross of Calvary met that law perfectly. One who through His life, His perfect life, met that law perfectly. And let's make it very clear tonight. The law could not and did not save. We could never keep the law perfectly. It could never save your soul. So you might have a moral life tonight. You might be upright. You might be good living. And all of that, that's good. But that will never save your soul. You see, the law tonight damns our souls. Because the law shows us that we are sinners. And that's an important clarification to make clear as we go on and consider these restrictions. Let's move on then. Not only the clarification that is needed, let's see now the constraints that were imposed. So the law showed us that we're lawbreakers, we're sinners. Why then these restrictions? Why did the Lord impose these local restrictions on this mount, on this place where the law was going to be given? Why did He say in verse number 12, don't go up into the mount, don't touch the border of the mount? Well, as we've said, the law was a revelation of the holiness of God. And that mount was going to be engulfed with a revelation of that great holiness. And God placed restrictions on that place in order to teach and to show mankind that he cannot come to God any way he wants. These constraints, these restrictions that were placed there upon the people in verse 12 were to show the people that there is a distance between God and man. And that you cannot come to God the way you want. You cannot just come to God the way you think is best. There are boundaries set. There are restrictions in place. And look what would happen if they just went on their merry way. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be put to death. Oh, so many people tonight just think they can do their own thing, make their own way to God. So many people have their own view as to how they can be right with God. How can they get to heaven? They'll do their best. But our best is never enough. Because there is a distance between the sinner and a holy God. One of the most unnatural things over this past 6 months is this whole thing of social distancing. Keeping your distance. Even from your loved ones, having to keep apart from them. This social distancing here on Sinai was to use to teach mankind that he is apart from God, that he is at a distance from God. The law reveals our sin, and it reveals that our sin separates us from God. And so the Lord says, don't come up. Don't come the way you are. Don't go just how you think you can go. Because your iniquities have separated between you and your God, as Isaiah tells us. Your sins have hid his face from you. In this meeting tonight, without Christ, you've got to realize that you are at a distance from God. You're separated from Him tonight because of sin. Sinner, don't think tonight you can come to God any way you want. Don't think tonight you can approach God on your own terms, on the way that you think tonight is best. Oh, so many this evening think that they are on a par with God, or they're on the same level of God. And many tonight even set themselves up with God, and they'll just do their own thing, and they'll go whatever way they think is best. But as the wise man says, there is a way that seemeth right. But the ends, they're all for the ways of death. Maybe tonight you're sitting in this meeting and the way that you're on seems right to you. It's a life of uprightness. It's a life of morality. Oh, you haven't committed any heinous crime. But the Word of God reveals to us through the law of God that we're all sinners. We've broken the law of God, and we're all at a distance. We are all separated from God. And so God said to the people, don't come near, don't touch. There were restraints because there was a distance. And if they ignored that warning, they would die. Countless thousands of people die across our world every day. Cancer, stroke, heart attacks, car accidents, suicide, COVID-19, whatever. But how many have died thinking all was well? Thinking they would approach God their own way. Thinking that they could reject the gospel all their lives and somehow at the end of their life, God would open heaven and let them in. Somehow that they could turn away the gospel invitation and turn away from Christ all their lives and think that all would be well. They would get to heaven at the end of it all. Thinking they could approach God on their own terms. These restrictions were put in place to show man cannot approach God on his own terms. And listen tonight, as we'll come on to see, if you have not a faith, trusting, resting alone in Jesus Christ, then any other way is a false way. Any other way that you think will be enough to bring you to God will rather damn your soul in a lost eternity. Countless thousands, as we have said, have died every day from whatever reason, thinking all would be well. Died physically. We'll all die physically. But there is a death worse than physical death. There's eternal death. That death, when that soul is separated, which has been separated from the body in physical death, is then separated from God in a lost eternity for all eternity. That's the worst death of all. And that's the death that awaits all those who think they can come to Christ their own way. Those who think they can come to God just whatever way they please. Those who think they can ignore the warnings, they can just break through all the restrictions, do what they want, live as they please, and all will be well. Do you know tonight that hell is full of those who did it their own way? Lost eternity is full of those who thought they were good enough. But the moment they opened their eyes in a lost eternity, they realized it wasn't enough. These restrictions show to man that his way to God was never going to be enough. Your goodness, your holy living, your good living, they count for nothing. What God was saying to the people there in verse 12 was that he was warning them. Warning them of the danger. If you don't obey, if you don't heed, there's danger. And listen, sinner, tonight, don't listen to my words. Don't listen to this preacher. Listen to the word of God when he warns you. When he urges you to flee from the wrath of God. Heed the warning tonight before it is forever too late. There is the clarification that is needed. There are the constraints then that were imposed. There was a distance. They were not allowed to come up. They were not allowed to touch it. Because God was teaching people that there is a separation between people and God. Because God is holy, we are sinful. But finally, tonight as we close, I want you to see then the commands that were issued. Yes, as we've seen, the law set the constraints, the restrictions that were in place. But thank God tonight, grace set a way for those restrictions to be overcome. You see, there was a way that this distance, this separation could be spanned. There wasn't a way. There was a way that man could approach God. Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, said that Christ was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. How can the distance between a sinner and a holy God be spanned? It's through Christ, and only through Christ. As we think of these commands that were issued then in the light of Christ being the only way, and I want you to notice the foundation of these commands. How was it possible? These restrictions placed a distance, but look at verse 4. The end of verse 4 says, "And brought you unto myself." That's what all of Scripture is about tonight. The Word of God is not just a history book. It's not just a detail of the great teachings and doctrines. All of that is involved in it. The Word of God tonight, the Scriptures, is all about how a sinner can be reconciled to God. Brought to God. This evening, tonight, in this meeting, that's your greatest need, to be brought to God. Good to see you in church tonight. Thank you for coming. But church can't save you. You need to be brought to God. But what was the foundation of it? Look at verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses." Verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Moses." Again and again throughout this chapter, as the Lord speaks to Moses, and yes, he gives him the instructions and places the restrictions, but then there's the way that it could be overcome. It was all in the plan of the Lord. You see, how can you be reconciled to God? It's all in the plan of God. God ordained it. God planned a way. He's the only foundation. He's the only source. He's the only origin that you can be brought to God. The foundation, but notice very quickly then the preparation, verse 10 and verse 11. "The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes and be ready the third day." What was the message? They needed to prepare. They needed to be ready. And if they weren't prepared, they would be judged. Notice this preparation that had to do with cleansing. Wash your clothes. The washing of the clothes of itself was not going to make them ready. It was what it symbolized. The Scripture, through the whole plan of redemption,
And scheme of redemption talks about a cleansing. Talks about a washing. Why? Because we have hearts that are black with sin. We have a heart that by nature is darkened by sin. And the only way that that sin can be dealt with is for those sins to be washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, verse 10 and 11, the Lord reminds the people they couldn't meet God the way they were. There had to be a preparation. You can't meet God the way you are by nature in your sin. You have to come the way of the cross. It's the blood of Jesus Christ tonight that was shed on the cross that cleanseth us from all sin. There has to be a cleansing. There has to be a washing. And that old gospel hymn asks the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Have you made that preparation? Are you prepared to meet God? Because listen, meet God you will. Meet God you will. There is not one that will not meet God. All shall stand before Him. All will see Him. All will give an account. The thing is, tonight, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you saved tonight? The foundation, the preparation, but notice as well the trepidation. Look at verse 16. It came to pass in the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. Here were a people who caught a sight of the holiness of God. They caught a glimpse of their sinfulness, and they trembled before God. They trembled under the weight of their sin. They saw that God was a God of holiness. God was a God of justice. They realized that before God they were sinners. And there was a fear that gripped them. Oh, that tonight, sinner, a fear of God would grip your heart. This world tonight is gripped with a fear of coronavirus, but there is no fear of God. Do you fear God tonight? Oh, that you would tremble tonight under the weight of your sin. But there's also the mediation. There was a way to God. There was a way that the restrictions and the barriers to God could be lifted, and that way was through a mediator. Moses was the mediator. He was the go-between. He was the one who would bring God's message to the people. And in this we see Moses as a type of Christ. Moses, remember, was not a savior. None of the Old Testament patriarchs were saviors. They could never redeem. But they pointed to one who could. Notice how Moses spoke of Christ as our mediator. Look in verse number 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, he's come up into the mount. The Lord said unto Moses, go down. Go down. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from glory to earth in the incarnation. Go down. And in the great scheme of redemption in eternity past, the triune God planned a way, and that way involved the Son of God coming down, leaving heaven. Verse 22, let the priests also which come near
So the coming down speaks of the incarnation of Christ. The coming near speaks of the humiliation of Christ. It speaks of his life. It speaks of his death. It speaks of his resurrection. Because Christ in his life met every precept of the law. He was under the law. Christ in his death paid the penalty of the broken law. What was the penalty? It was death. He died. Why? In order to bring sinners near to God. We've been brought nigh tonight. If you're saved, you've been brought nigh to God. How? By the blood of Christ. Moses was to go down. Moses was to draw near. And there in verse 24, Moses was to go up. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up. There's the exaltation of Christ. Having come down, having finished the work that he came to do, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he went up, he went back to the Father, and there he is, an advocate before God on the behalf of all those who would trust him. You see the mediator? Once the law was given, the people realized they needed a mediator. Turn very quickly over to chapter 20 and the verse 19. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. Remember now, the law has been given here. Nay, that's the people said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Here were a people who realized they couldn't come to God the way they were. They couldn't come to God by themselves. They needed a mediator. They needed a go-between. They saw their need of one to act on their behalf before God. And the scriptures make it clear tonight that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one way that you can be saved. There's only one way you can be brought to God tonight. There's only one way you can escape the wrath of God and the penalty of God for that broken law is through Christ. Christ who satisfied the law perfectly. Christ who provided a perfect righteousness that you might be saved. These people realized they needed a mediator. Oh, that tonight in this meeting, if you're without Christ, you would realize you need Christ. That you are at a distance from him. That your sin separates you from God. But that you would see tonight the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth, went to the cross in order to draw you near to God, and tonight went up and is in heaven in order to bring you to where he is. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. There is no other way but the way of the cross and the way of Christ. These local restrictions, therefore, were they a help or a hindrance? They most certainly were a help. Because they showed to the people their sin. They showed to the people their Savior. Oh, that tonight you would realize that before God you're lost. But as well you would realize that there's a Savior who can span and bridge that gulf and that gap between you and God. The only mediator. Don't look to man tonight. Look to the God-man. Look to Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way you can be brought to God. There is no other way tonight you can be in heaven. But by coming, turning from your sin, and resting and trusting alone in Christ. May you realize tonight that these local restrictions that were placed upon the people there in Exodus 19, verse 12, they were a help to show them how much they needed a Savior. And oh, that tonight you would see, perhaps like never before, how much you need Christ, and how that without Him, you're lost and you're hopeless. But thank God tonight, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came to bring us to God. And you can be brought to God tonight. You can be reconciled. That problem of sin can be dealt with. You can leave this meeting tonight. Walk out the doors of this church with an assurance of salvation, with an assurance you're on your way to heaven. But it's only through Christ and Christ alone. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close tonight, and before we sing our closing hymn, if tonight you have a concern, you have an interest in the things of God, and tonight you realize that you need a Savior, then don't put it off. Come to Christ. Come tonight and be saved. Don't turn away, but rather come. And turn your eyes upon Him tonight. Speak to us. Make that need known to us, and we'll only too happy to take time. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, that tonight you would please to bring many to thyself. Heavenly Father, speak, O God, we pray, as the voice of man falls silent, may the voice of God still speak and still strive. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.